Morning. Welcome to Porterfield Baptist Church. We are all about loving and leading people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are so glad you're here this morning. Would you stand up for a minute and just join me in this? I think we come together sometimes, all of us, any of us, and we don't really take just a minute to remind ourselves of why we're here and what kind of God it is that we're worshiping, just to kind of get out of the world and turn our hearts towards the Lord, right? To really kind of make the break between life and God, you know? Try to, of course, they're connected, but, you know. So Isaiah 40 came to my mind today. I was, you know, with the song that's coming up, you'll know in a minute, but, you know, it's the, have you not seen, have you not heard? So it says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Isn't it crazy? Like, what kind of God does all this stuff? With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? And I'm skipping parts. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown. No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And it says, the Lord, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, which you're going to sing this morning. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Doesn't that feel good? And we know, as we've been reading here, what Lord we're talking about. He is capable of giving us that strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We are here to worship the everlasting God who was and is to come. Amen? Are you ready to worship him this morning? All right. Let's give him some glory this morning.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong.
Thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the power you have over our lives and over the universe, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we're reminded of how great you are. We're reminded of our own shortcomings, Lord. And we call to you. And this time we call out to you. We cry out to you, Lord. We thank you for your love and your grace. And we give you glory.
We need your mercies, oh God. We repent for our ways, and we turn to you.
be seated.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to come to your house today and to grow in you. I pray you just be with each one of us and guide and direct us. We pray for those that are sick and afflicted that you would heal their bodies and give them strength. I pray especially for my mom. Tomorrow she's going to be having surgery on her foot, that you would just help that to go well and give her strength and just help her to heal. And I pray you just continue to be with everyone that goes through difficulties or hardships, that you'll give them strength and help them to know that you're there. Lord, help us as we collect these funds today to continue to do your work, to be a blessing to you most importantly, but to be a blessing to this community and to the world, that we can continue to make a difference in people's lives and support the missionaries that we support, to continue to do the things to make a difference in the life of a child, to help them, others to see you and know you for the first time. I pray you just continue to be with the mission of this body of believers, that you would continue to mold us and shape us to be what we need to be for you, that you would also protect us and keep us strong for you. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the opportunities that we have. We pray, Lord, now that you would bless us and encourage us and help us to be spurred on by your love and grace. In your wonderful name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Oh,
Holy Spirit, Lord, we worship you in all that you are. We give our hearts to you, our attention to you, our love for you. We offer our bodies as a sacrifice of praise in worshiping you through music. God, we ask that you would speak to us now through your word, that we would just grow through it, Lord, and become the people that you know we can be. And we give you all the glory for it always in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You be seated.
We truly serve an amazing God who's able to do amazing things, and it's neat how God works things and does things. There was this morning, Marcia was leading the music. It was about Valentine's Day mostly, and I kind of forgotten Valentine's Day. Not too late, that's right. It's not too late. It's got 3 days. But the fact is that Marcia challenged us to tell each other that we loved each other, we cared about each other. And I thought that was kind of neat because my message, my first section of point is about loving each other. And then most of our songs in our second service here are dealing with the power of God. And my last point that I'll share with you today is that we serve an undefeated God, that he's undefeated, that he is powerful, that he's amazing. And actually one of my scriptures is from Isaiah chapter 40 that Tracy read. So God works, doesn't he? He's working behind the scenes, doing things, and it's pretty neat that we serve such an awesome and amazing God. First things that I want to share, the message today, believe enough to share the truth. And so this message is really to encourage you, inspire you, hopefully it inspires me, encourages me, because I deal with the same fears you do about sharing your faith for Christ, letting other people know about Jesus. And so I hope to encourage you, but I'm also encouraging myself. And kind of trying to get me to say, hey, why am I not doing this as much as I should be doing it? And because we miss a lot of great opportunities to share the truth with people, share about Jesus, share about God, what he's done for us. So I hope to encourage you today with this. So my first point, or my points today, or my thoughts are these. Love God and love people. Witness. You are a witness. Got good news. We got good things to share. And God is undefeated. He's undefeated. So let's start out with Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. And I wanted to share a scripture that we mostly, maybe when we hear, we have certain scriptures in mind when we hear about sharing our faith. And I wanted to do a little bit differently today and kind of maybe help you to see that there's other scriptures to back up those scriptures, but also to encourage you that this isn't something new. It really isn't. From Old Testament to New Testament, one thing that God wants us to do is to love him, to put our love in our heart for him, because he loved us, right? He loved us first. And so Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, but be very careful to keep these commands and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands and to hold fast to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So here Joshua is trying to encourage the tribes. After coming and seeing everything that had been done, and God had kept his promises and everything, that, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving God. Put God first. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You know, serve him. Hold fast to him. Grab a hold and don't let go. Keep a hold of God in your heart. Put him first in your life. That's the thing that we need to do. We need to be putting God first. Love him. And I don't know about you, but when I keep him in focus, he allows me to have love in my heart to love other people. When I have his love in my heart, and I express that to other people, it's almost like you can't help it, right? When you're filled with God's love, and you feel that love inside your heart, it's almost like you want to share it, and you want to express it, and you want to help other people. And that's the thing, if we keep God in the focus, and have that love for him that he has for us, what a beautiful thing it is when we really care about people, when we really value people. And this is what Jesus says, John chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. And I want to focus first on that verse 17. This is my command, love each other, care about each other. We need to love each other. We need to really care about each other, value each other, care about the burdens that each other have, to love them enough to share this gospel message that we're going to talk about, the good news, to love enough to care about the people around you, whether you meet somebody at work or you meet somebody at a gas station or a restaurant as a waiter or a waitress, somebody that collects your garbage or whatever, but love on them, care for them, see them as a person, see them as valuable by God. Because God loves you, you see them as being valuable as well. To really care about them. This is something that will give us strength. If we understand that we need God's love in our hearts to express His good news, to share His story, you know, that's going to help us. It's going to strengthen us. We have to understand that we need to have God's love in our heart, that we need to love Him, and that's the power that we can hold on to in expressing the truth and telling people about what Jesus really is about, is by loving our God and then also loving others around us to really care for them. But what does Jesus warn us about this? He's saying love others, but He's giving us a warning here that what's going to happen if you do. If you really love people, what's going to happen? It says this, 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Now, most of you know, probably all you know, I keep saying it enough that I'm a Steeler fan. But I had to root for the Eagles because not only did I hate the Patriots, which is definitely true, but I love the story of the Eagles. I don't know if many of you heard, and hopefully you have, but there are so many Christians on the Eagles football team, and it's just amazing. The head coach, the quarterback, Carson Wentz, has an amazing story, has amazing ministry. He calls it Audience of One, and so he has a powerful testament and a great leader on the team. He got injured. There was a backup quarterback to play in the Super Bowl. You may know his name, Nick Foles. He wants to be a pastor after he retires from football. Amazing stories. I mean, the tight end who caught that touchdown, almost looked like it was an incomplete pass or a fumble there. He's a Christian. Shared his testimony. So if you want to look up some videos, there was baptisms that happened during the course of this season. And what an amazing story. So if I have a second favorite team now, it's probably the Eagles, I guess. But the fact is this. Tony Dungy mentioned about Nick Foles' faith, about how his faith helped him to have the confidence to play in the Super Bowl. And later, people on Twitter were bashing Tony Dungy for commenting about Nick Foles' faith. Understand this, that people aren't always going to like what you have to say. They're not always going to believe in what you say. And you know what? If the world's not going to go in the direction of Christ, they're going to resent that. That's natural. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. And that's what Jesus is saying. Realize this, if they hate me, they're going to hate you as well. And what did Jesus do with the hate that he had on him? When he was going through the crowd and being yelled at, when he was having names hurled at him, when he was being beaten, when he had the crown of thorns on his head, you know what? It wasn't the soldiers, it wasn't Rome that was putting him on the cross. It was his love for us. It was his great love for us that put him there. He loved us so much that he didn't call God and say, God, send your angels to rescue me. I can't do this anymore. His love kept him there. His love held him there because of his love for me and his love for you. God loves us. God cares about us. God values us. And the value that God has placed on me, the love that God has placed on you, it's worth it to share this good news. It's worth to let people know about Jesus Christ because we see the difference he's made in our life. And we feel the love that he has for us. Don't worry about what people will say, what people will do. There will be people that may hate you. But there's always going to be somebody out there that needs to hear the truth, that wants to hear the truth, that could change their life, and it could make a difference in them. Let's look at the next thing I want to talk about is you are a witness. You are a witness. I think a lot of times when it comes to sharing our faith, we get scared, right? I get scared sometimes, I'll be honest with you, because sometimes we think we have to know everything. We have to know all the ins and outs. We're afraid of questions that somebody may ask. Well, if I share my faith, what are they going to ask me? May not know the answer to that. How can I help them? I'm not qualified. I'm not smart enough. Or I don't really understand Scripture like I should. You know, I want to tell you that I believe that God is not calling you to be a scholar. and sharing your faith. I think God wants you to share a testimony or a witness of the events that God has done in your life. And so he wants you to talk about what has happened in your life, what God has done in your life, how he's allowed you to be where you are. When I was doing youth ministry, we would oftentimes talk to the teens about sharing their faith. And I love this example because it's such an easy thing to remember and kind of think about as you share your faith. Talk about three things that happened in your past. What was it like without Jesus? What was your life like without Jesus? Just three things. Just share three things about what it was like before you came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his salvation. What was it like? Just three things. Then the next thing is, what was the events or what happened to come for you to come to that realization that you needed Jesus Christ? Was it vacation Bible school? Was it a service? Was it a home? Where were you at? What were the type of things that led up to that? Did somebody inspire you, encourage you, or you know, share with you about the good news? For my friend Dale, he was at church camp. And he was laying in bed, and his friend said, shared him with a verse. He said, here's Revelation 3:20. You know, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and I will have dinner with him or sup with him and have fellowship with him. And he asked Dale, what's the door, Dale? What's the door? And so he laid there, and all night long he was thinking about, what is the door? What is the door? And Dale, at like 3 o'clock in the morning, he realized the door was his heart. And then he needed to open his heart to God. And that night, right then, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Something like that. What were the events that led up to you accepting Christ? And then after that, three things that your life has changed now. How is your life different now after accepting Christ? How did that happen? And then now, how is your life different? What were some of the things that have changed now since you've come to know Christ? How do you feel about yourself? What do you think God's doing in your life? What purpose, what plan do you feel like God has for you? Share some of those things. And that's your testimony. That's your testimony. The thing of it is that sometimes we feel like it's this bigger thing than what it is, but God wants us to understand it's about sharing. And I'll tell you, whether it was my uncle that had Down syndrome or it was a small child, I can see God using those individuals to share a testament that's powerful and amazing that no scholar could ever say or do because they're sharing what God has done in their personal life and how God changed them. And so don't make it overcomplicated when you share your faith. Don't make it too hard because it's not. It's about you standing up and saying, hey, I saw this. This happened to me. I've received Jesus and now I'm different. And it's all because of God. It's because God loves me and God loves you. And it's not has to be this complicated thing that we make it out to be sometimes. We just need to share about God, about what he's done for us and how he's important to us, right? So don't make it too hard. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And I love that passage. I use this passage with my grandma's funeral service because I really feel like she was a witness and she was light. And yet she didn't have a formal education in the sense of, I think she went up to like 8th grade. But yet, she made a difference in people's lives. She would witness to people. She would share the gospel. I mean, me and my wife heard stories sometimes when the Kirby salesman came to the door. They didn't know what they were getting into. They were trying to sell a vacuum cleaner. And they were walking out of there hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ about how he had the power to save them. So here you have an 86-year-old woman at the time sharing about the good news about Jesus Christ. And she didn't have to have all the facts or all the knowledge. She was saying what Jesus had done in her life and how it made a difference. Sometimes we use that excuse to be from being salt and being light in the world. Well, I don't know. I can't do that. And just represent, you know? We're not afraid to represent our team sometimes in football or basketball or sports. We're not afraid to represent our schools and wear a shirt that says this team or that team. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, somehow that's different. And it shouldn't be. And more, it should be the other way around. We should be embracing who Christ is, embracing this opportunity and ability to share the good news with others around, to be light, just to be a witness. And I love the picture of the moon. When you think about the moon and how it teaches us, and being a little kid, I didn't know. And then when you go to school, you learn about, oh, wow, that's really cool, how the sun is what supplies the light for the moon. And the moon doesn't have any power source of its own. It has no power source of its own at all. But when you have that full moon, and now we recently had a super moon, you know, which is really big, but it's bright. It's like, wow, it's almost like partial daylight right now. And how is that happening? Because of the sun, and because the moon is reflecting the sunlight. And that's what I'm supposed to be. That's what me and you are. We're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. I'm a reflection. And there's no power in me. There's no special thing about me. It's the Holy Spirit working inside of my life, allowing God to reveal himself through me. But it's by his power. It's by his ability, his strength. And so I want to tell you, when you're a witness, it's not some extra thing you have to do. You have to be open to what God's doing in your life, allowing him to be your source, allowing him to be your power. And it's coming by loving God first, allowing that love to reign in your heart so that you can be that light, so you can be that source to love others, so you can make that difference. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, it says this: this is how we know that we live in him, and he lives in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son and been the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, and God lives in them, and they in God. He's just testifying. You know, the disciples, what is their main mission? When they were first going out, it's to testify. It's to talk about Jesus, the difference he made in their life. It's to tell them, did they have a formal school to go to learn how to share their faith, or are they just sharing an experience of what happened to them? They're sharing an experience of what had taken place in their life. You know, as we move into this good news that we're talking about here, and kind of highlight this, that we don't have bad news to share. You know, it's not like we have to share all the bad things. This is good news. The gospel is that. It's good news. It's something good to tell people. It's something good and exciting to share with others, to let them know what God has done, that we have something good to talk about. We have something good to say to them. I remember being at Golden Corral a few years ago, and we had some coupons. We had extra coupons. We had like two or three copies of the same coupon. I don't know how that happened. Sometimes that happens in the newspaper. You're all excited, right? Yes! Scored big time. Got three of the same copy of the coupon. I can use it four or five times. That's great. But we were so excited. I was excited to get coupons. And we're like, hey, we're never going to use these. Let's pass them out. So I was excited. I was going around sharing my coupon to save like $2 off each meal. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. I can share and let them know that they can save $2. I had good news. But how much better news do I have to share with people? What better news can I share with people that their sins can be forgiven? That all the baggage and all the dirt that they feel in their life can be freed? That they can have salvation? That God, in his love for all of us, came and stepped into humanity and laid down his life for me and you? Not only did he do that, but he raised from the dead. And now we have eternal life as an option for all of us. What good news we have to share compared to a coupon that saves $2, and we get excited about things like that, but we don't get excited about the good news that we really have to share, and it's an eternal difference. I love the movie Gladiator, and in that movie, the leader, Marcus, he talks about what we do in life echoes into eternity. And I believe that is true in Christianity, definitely, that the things that we do affect what happens into eternity. That the difference I make in sharing this good news with others can make an eternal difference. We never know who we're witnessing to. We never know who we're sharing it with. And I think about that we're making an eternal difference in somebody's life by sharing this good news. That this good news we have to share is an eternal difference. As I was getting excited about sharing this coupon that was going to maybe give them a discount on a meal, I have the ability to share them about good news that's going to be an eternal difference for their life and for generations, for maybe family members of their family members for generations. That's the good news that we have to share. We have something good to talk about. Don't downplay the gospel. Don't make it too difficult like we talked about. This is a good opportunity for us to share and let people know what God did for them. This gospel is of value. And there's so many people. We see this in our area. I mean, it saddens me to think about, you know, that we have so many people in this area now that are looking to drugs as an answer. They're looking to alcohol as an answer to numb their pain, to wash away their burdens, to get rid of the void that they feel in their life. And yet we have the answer. We have the answer. We have the good news of Jesus that we could share with people. That's why there's like ministries like High on Hope that are making a difference, because they're sharing the good news with people. They're letting people know about what Jesus did for them. That they have that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. We have something important to share. And so as long as you understand that, as long as I know that, if I keep that in perspective that I have something important to share for people that's good, that's going to benefit them, that's going to help them, then it helps me to be able to have the boldness to share that good news with others. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. And you know, the story, and if you want to check out this story, it's a great story about Philip, who is led by God to go and minister to this eunuch that is from Ethiopia. And this eunuch is in his chariot, and he's reading the book, or the Bible, the Hebrew Bible. And he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, and he says he's reading this book of the Bible, and he's getting to these places. He's trying to wonder, is this talking about Isaiah, or is this talking about somebody else, or who is this person, who is this writer talking about? And Philip has the opportunity to tell him about Jesus. And if you've ever read Isaiah 53, wow, it is amazing, because you're thinking that's thousands of years ago that Isaiah has been written, and then Jesus comes and he fulfills everything that's been said about him. And so Philip has this opportunity to help this eunuch understand what he's reading, and he shares the good news with him. And that's what it says. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The neat thing is, too, that God is at work. If you read that story about Philip, God was orchestrating that whole thing. He knew the eunuch was reading that Scripture, and he told Philip, go over by that chair, listen to him read this, and then when you have the opportunity, share. And so Philip sees what he's reading or hears what he's reading and has the opportunity to share. And a lot of times, that's what it is, just looking for opportunities to share the good news about Jesus Christ. It's looking for ways that we can share that good news. But he took advantage of that opportunity, began to share. But you know what, God, that's the thing is, God's not letting you be alone. You're not the only one doing it. You're not the only one by yourself doing this thing. God's Spirit is at work in people's hearts and people's lives. God's beginning to do things in their life already. You're not doing this by yourself. Again, I go back to the point that probably is the main point of this message, is that it's not about you. It's about you just taking a stand and being a light for Christ. You don't have to do anything extra special. You just testify what you know. You testify and talk about what you've done and seen, what God has done for you in your life. And that gives you an opportunity to talk about Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 23 through 25, it says this, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." This was as Paul was wrapping up his ministry. And you know, those that hated him in the world, they were just wanting him to stop, right? They were wanting him to just end his ministry, just to put out a voice that was speaking about Christ. And what does Paul say? "My only heart's desire is to continue to share about the good news of Jesus Christ, to continue to testify what he's done for me, to continue to talk about Jesus." You know what? As I go back to this point of being God that's eternal and that we can make an eternal difference, think about this, that over almost 2,000 years ago, about take 50 years off of that, but close to 2,000 years ago, here Paul is, and he's seeing his doom come near, and that he's going to be dying here soon. And that's his goal, was to share the good news. What people intended just to wipe it out. Who got wiped out? Because Paul's words are still being read. Paul's knowledge is still being digested by us. Paul made an eternal difference. I'm sure the person that was, you know, had the sword that was getting ready to execute Paul, we don't know who that person is, because it didn't really matter. God used Paul's words to speak for years and years and years and years, and we continue to read his words because Paul made an eternal difference for Christ. He made an eternal difference in the people's lives around him. So do we have good news? Yeah, we have good news. And why does Satan want to snuff it out so bad? Because it is good news. It's great news. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we have hope in Jesus Christ. We have our hope rest on what Jesus Christ did for us. God is undefeated. My son and daughter went to Winter Jam with the teens, and one of the people that were there is named KB. And if you don't know who KB is, you can look him up. He's a rapper. I don't know if you like rap music, but I was listening to some of it, and one of the songs he has is called Undefeated. And it's kind of cool because it's talking about, you know, how are you going to stop me? I'm God. I'm undefeated. Everything I've done, I said I would do, I did. And then nothing could stop it. You know, and that's the other thing, too. You think about sports, and my team playing upwards, and last year we didn't win a single game. It was really a rough season. It was really hard, you know. And now this year we're 3-0. And so everybody's excited, and I have some of the players back from last year and my own kids. And now they're getting a little cocky. So I'm like, hey, guys, you know, but isn't it interesting how we all want to achieve perfection almost? We all kind of strive for the perfect season. We want to see our sports teams win every game, unlike the Mountaineers. But, well, it's my team, so I can. That was rough yesterday. But the fact is that we strive for that. We want that. We're excited when that happens. But here we serve a God who is perfect, who has never changed, who's the same yesterday and evermore. He's the same God. And he's perfect. And yet we have this perfection in front of us. We have this God that's undefeated, who is mighty, who is great, who is this amazing God that we talked about, that Tracy talked about in the passage. And let me share again. Verse 24 through 26, to whom will you compare me? Who can we compare to God? You can't put up anything and say, well, that's like God. You know, he's even saying that with the other gods. And that's why I love Isaiah chapter 46. It's a great, great chapter in the Bible. But he's like, who can you compare me? You know, you're gonna make this God, Muslim faith, or you're going to put Buddha up here, and you're going to put other images or Baal. Who can you compare me with? There's no comparison. There's no comparison. Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each of them by name because of great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. You know, it's just amazing how we as, you know, we are scientists community. I think it's really cool. But we look out the stars and we're searching and we're looking at everything. And we look at the galaxy and we're just amazed at how big our galaxy is, the Milky Way galaxy. And then we stumble into other galaxies. And then we're just amazed at how big the universe really is. But the scripture is telling you, God's saying, I put every one of them in place. I know where they are. Not one of them is missing. I put everyone where I wanted to be. I call every one of them out. I know exactly where they're supposed to be. We serve an amazing God. And to think, this amazing God who created all these things. I mean, I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've been to some mountaintops. And it's just amazing that God made all these things and yet cares about me as a grasshopper, right? Just like a little grasshopper, but he cares and values me so much that he sent his son to die for me. This amazing God is perfect to die for me and you. God is undefeated. He will not be defeated. He will be undefeated forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? And so we serve this God that's undefeated. That no matter when you feel like you're low or you feel like, you know, where's God at? He always, always works. He's always at work, doing amazing things. And so who can we compare him to? And then Psalm 145, verse 13 through 16, it says this, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to him, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open up your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing." See, God has this amazing ability to impact and to change lives. And I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in multiple of students and adults and people that have amazing stories to talk about how God has done some amazing things in their life. How he's called them from, you know, before they were downcast and just discouraged about maybe some sins in their life, or they felt the weight of everything on their life, to seeing them do great things for God now. It is amazing to see that happen. It's amazing to see the transformation that can happen in people's lives. We serve a mighty God that is going to endure forever and ever and through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy. You know, other people will fail you, but God has not failed. And through all these, you know, going through the course of time of, you know, thousands of years, the Bible is true still today. And its truth speaks and it changes lives. And so as I finish this, I'm not going to share the slide, but I want to talk about Luke chapter 1. And we see this whole idea being fulfilled by the shepherds. The shepherds are out there minding their own business, right, doing their own work, and maybe having some fun, maybe talking, maybe they're at a campfire or something. All of a sudden, the angels appear saying they got good news. Jesus, the Messiah, has been born. And so I know what you're thinking. I haven't had an angel appear to me either, but I did receive the Holy Spirit. But so they are impacted by this. They go and see. They go to the town. In the town there, and they see for themselves that Jesus was born. What happens next? They get excited, and they start going outside that little stable or wherever it was that they saw him for the first time. They go out, and they start sharing it, and people are amazed by what they say. It doesn't say that they all believed. It just says that they were amazed. Probably like me with the coupons, you know, like, I got a coupon! Here you go. This is a nutcase or what? But anyhow, you know, I don't laugh at that. But here's the thing. You know, we got some good news, and they weren't afraid to share it. And one of my favorite verses about the Christmas story is that Mary takes all this and she treasures it in her heart. She takes it and she holds on to it. It's almost like, I know some dark days are ahead of me, and, you know, I know it may not be easy, but I'm going to take this moment right now that I'm seeing God display his mighty power and seeing how these people are excited about my son being born, and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold on to this moment, and maybe it'll get me through some dark days ahead. I'm going to hold on to knowing that this is what God has done, that God has done this. But you know what? The disciples do what we, that's what we should be doing like the disciples. I remember hearing a story of a little boy, 5 years old. He went to church, he accepted Christ, and he was so excited. You know what he went home and did? He started calling his family members and friends and wanted everybody to know that he accepted Jesus Christ and that his life was changed. That's what we're asked to do. Simply put, that's what we're asked to do. Share the good news. Our life has been changed, and our life has been changed by the power of God because he loved me. He loved you. I want to be like that 5-year-old. I want to stop worrying so much about what people think of me and not realize how big my God is. And that's the other thing. I love David and Goliath's story mainly because David didn't focus on the giant. The giant was big, And the Israelite army was scared because they made him bigger. But David, he didn't look at the giant. He looked at how unstoppable his God is, how big his God was. And he knew his God was undefeated. He knew that that giant was a lot smaller and a lot tinier than everybody else saw him. He's like, what giant? I see a big God in front of me. I see an amazing, undefeated God. I can overcome that. God will spare me. That's the kind of faith we need to have in our God. Kind of love. Not worry about what man says. Don't worry about like Tony Dungy. He doesn't care what people think of him. He's going to continue to share his faith. And I admire people like that, that are in the spotlight. We don't know how hard that is to be in front of people and yet give God credit to take a stand for Jesus. But that's all God is asking us to do in our own little world. Take a stand. Just represent me. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to be spectacular. Just be a voice that says, I love Jesus. He's made a difference in me. As we have this song of invitation, I invite you to come. If you just kind of struggle with that or just want to have somebody pray with you and say, hey, I just want to be more bold about my faith. Again, I'm telling you right now, this message strengthens me. It encourages me. So it's not just for you, it's for me too. But help us to, you know, ask God. Let's ask God to give us courage and strength. And as we proclaim his good news that he has for us to share.
I think about this as a connect the dot moment. The God of the universe is a good father to us, right? Would you stand and join us?
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whisper of love, the dead of night, and you tell that your peace and love never run alone. You're a good, good father. Who you are.
I hope you got the message. I hope you don't go out and just get excited about coupons, but you go out and you really take the opportunity to share your faith with somebody, because it's more valuable. It'll make a bigger difference. It'll make a life-changing difference in somebody's life. Before Mark shares his announcement, I do want to invite you, if you want to come tonight, we're going to have a board game, family fun night. You don't have to have a family. You can just come by yourself. But we're just going to have some fun. We're going to have some board games. And bring your favorite board game or some game you'd like to play with a group of people. And we'll have some games out there, but we'll also have some soup. If you'd like to bring a soup, we'll judge that soup. And the winner gets maybe a gift card. But we'll have some fun, so we'll have some soup and we'll have some, you know, games. So we'll have some good fellowship tonight. So feel free to come 6 to 8 tonight. And I'm going to let Pastor Mark take over there.
Thank you, Eric. I really appreciate the message today, and I'm so grateful for the staff here. And we are working together as partners in the ministry of the gospel. And we are family. Amen. God, through Christ, has made us family. So, yeah, that's why we call it Family Fun Night, because it doesn't matter single or how many you got with you, we are family. So come and be part of the family. And with that in mind, I just want to make you aware of a special opportunity we have this year. Every year, February is designated as Black History Month. There's a lot of activities and a lot of things that happen throughout the month of February. For 20 years in the city of Belpre, they have been celebrating this and having a Black History Luncheon. I've attended it for several years, and it's always a good opportunity to learn things that we don't hear about maybe in school or different things. And the thing that I appreciate about it is, again, it broadens our vision to see how Christ is working in the hearts and minds of everyone. No matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your upbringing, the color of your skin, there is oneness in Christ if we truly have our focus on Christ. And that's what I have seen at these Black History Luncheons. And I'm really excited this year because Rockland United Methodist Church has hosted it in the past, and it's grown to the point that this year they needed a larger place. And so in talking with them, they were excited, and we're excited to be able to host it this year right here at Porterfield. So there's a flyer that is out at the information desk. I encourage you to stop by and pick one up. You see on the screen the time. It starts at 11. There's a aspiring worship time first. That'll be held right here in the worship center. And then when that's over, we'll be dismissed and we'll share lunch together out in our cafe area. But I'm really looking forward to hosting that this year and just continuing to build bridges in the community. So I hope you'll be supportive of that. If you can't attend it, I hope you'll be praying for us and just continuing to do what we're supposed to be doing as believers in Christ. Amen. So, because he has made us family, and I'm so thankful for that. Father, now as we dismiss from this place, we are so grateful for your grace and your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you will give us the courage to just simply stand for you, to speak for you with all of our imperfections and our failures, Lord, to acknowledge our need for you. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to teach us and guide us. Thank you for your unfailing love. And when we don't have the strength to hold on to you, you hold on to us. And so this is what I pray as we dismiss today, that you'll help us to be faithful, Lord, in just living out our faith and walk with you and telling others about it, as we've been encouraged to do through the message today. So help us to see those opportunities. Help us to do it with family members and coworkers and wherever we go, and to do it in a way that honors you and is respectful of others, but yet is unafraid, because, Lord, you are undefeated. You conquer death, and you hold all eternity in your hands. So help us to trust you with all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.